Radio Daily for, oh my goodness, finally, Frackin' Friday. Woo, woo, woo. You know, for those of you who don't have to work tomorrow, good for you. I get to be one of those people next week. Welcome to the 21st of January, because the 22nd is a Saturday, so I need to learn how to do my calendar stuff correctly. We're the five folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that lives his life the way he wants to, no matter what. That there's podcasting for Tikrit.
What I did was wrong, but I'd do it again.
That's right. Once you commit, you just got to make it happen. And I'm the guy that's completely at ease and completely happy with who I am. And you need to understand something. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
It's a big difference. Even if I don't care if you see one or not. What happened, sir?
In 1789, the first American novel, The Power of Symphony, or The Triumph of Nature, founded in truth by William Hill Brown, is published in Boston, Massachusetts by Isaiah Thomas.
1888, Charles Babbage's son, Henry Provost Babbage, uses the mill portion of the analytical engine he constructed from his father's drawings to compute multiples of pi in order to prove the design is functional.
Ha! 1942, New York Mayor Fiorello Henry LaGuardia bans pinball games in New York City, comparing them to slot machines and labeling them games of chance. LaGuardia will have thousands of the machines busted up and dumped into the ocean. Over 7,000 pounds of scrap material from the machines, including 3,000 pounds of steel balls, are included there. The ban will continue through to 1976 and seems like just the kind of guy you want to name an airport after.
1954, the first atomic submarine, the USS Nautilus, is christened by First Lady Mamie Eisenhower and launched on the Thames River in Groton, Connecticut. The propulsion system of the Nautilus makes the ship the first true submarine. Vessels previously termed submarines were in fact submersibles powered by diesel engines which consume vast amounts of oxygen, but the Nautilus can remain submerged for months on end.
1957, NBC records and later broadcasts the second inaugural ceremonies of U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower. It's the first national broadcast of a previously recorded event.
1979, Neptune becomes the outermost planet when the elliptical orbit of Pluto brings it closer to the sun than Neptune's own orbit. Because, you know, Pluto's not a planet.
Oh, dare you. 1985, the January 21st issue of U.S. News and World Report features a story entitled Consumer Electronics, Smaller, Cheaper, Better. In the story, it is reported that the Atari ST computers represent a quantum leap in computer value.
Oh boy. 1994, Billy Madison passes the first grade.
1999, Eric Hasseltine, the Senior Vice President of Research and Development at Walt Disney Imagineering, demonstrates Monty, a computer-generated character that moves its lips in sync with dialogue entered into a laptop computer. Monty is the brainchild of Fluent Speech Technologies in Beaverton, Oregon.
2001, Artist Entertainment released the documentary Startup.com, directed by Jihan Nojam, to U.S. theaters. It examines the dot-com startup phenomenon. By following GovWorks.com's founders Khalil Tuzman and Tom Herman through the bursting of the internet bubble.
2004. I think we're heading towards one with NFTs and cryptocurrency, aren't we? 2004, the NASA Mars Explorer rover, a Mira, loses contact with Mission Control due to a malfunction in the probe's flash memory management, which, of course, will be repaired from Earth on February 6th.
See, that's when flash actually was useful. Birthdays?
Jackson Brundage is 21 from One Tree Hill, Sea Dad Run, and Harvey Beaks.
Gerald William Jerry Traynor is 45 from Drake and Josh, iCarly, Tough Puppy, Donnie Darko, Wendell and Vinny, and iCarly.
Yeah, Jerry Traynor is a really funny guy. I like him. Oren Peli is 52, brought forth the Paranormal Activity and Insidious franchises.
Ken Lewing is 52 from Welcome to the Dollhouse, Al, or AI if you prefer, Red Dragon, Force Awakens, X-Men, The Last Stand, and Inhumans.
Charlotte Ross is 52, Eve on Days of Our Lives, NYPD Blue, Drive Angry, and Donna Smoke on Arrow.
Gina Davis is 65 from Tootsie Fletch, Transylvania 65,000, Thelma and Louise, Long Kiss Goodnight, Stuart Little, The Exorcist, that would be the TV show, and is an archer, an Olympic competing archer.
Huh. Did not know that. Robbie Benson is 66 from Ode to Billy Joe, Beauty and the Beast, Exo Squad.
Paul Allen is 69, co-founded Microsoft and the founder of the Allen Institute for Brain Science, Institute for Artificial Intelligence, Institute for Cell Science, Strato Launch Systems, Apex Learning, and has a goddamn beautiful business card.
Jill Eikenberry is 75 from Butch and Sundance, The Early Days, Arthur, The Manhattan Project, Hill Street Blues, and L.A. Law.
No longer with us, born this date in 1922. Telly Savalas, Cape Fear, The Dirty Dozen, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, Kojak, Cannonball Run 2, GoBots, Battle of the Rock Lords, and of course, Horror Express.
And don't forget, he seemed to be very confused as to exactly who loved who. 1924, Benny Hill, English actor, singer, and screenwriter.
1926, Steve Reeves, an American bodybuilder, Hercules, and other sword and sandal flicks, turned down the role of Bond for Dr. No.
1938, Wolfman Jack, American radio host, American Graffiti, Motel Hell, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, was himself in an episode of Galactica 80, and was also an animated version of himself in Wolf Rock TV.
1965, Jam Master Jay, American DJ, rapper, and producer. He's Jam Master Jay, the big beat blaster. He gets better, because he knew he has to. In 84, he'll go a little faster, and only practice makes it real Jam Master.
Gone too soon. On CBS, Vitamin Shop, on A New Undercover Boss, Magnum P.I. and Blue Bloods.
ABC is going to need Shark Tank in 2020.
NBC has Anthony Anderson and T-Pain versus Ryan Tedder and Bebe Rexha on a new That's My Jam and a new Dateline America's Voice.
Fox has WWE Friday Night SmackDown.
Brother. CW Stabba Dabba Deck on a new Penn and Teller, Fool Us, and a new Nancy Drew.
AMC has Divergent and Insurgent, and then I think it went to TV for a couple of episodes. I don't remember how the series ended, really.
Yeah. FX, The Fate of the Furious. Why was there not an 8?
It just makes so much sense. FXX, The Simpsons Marathon, has A Star is Burned and Lisa's Wedding, one of the finest episodes of The Simpsons of all time.
FXM has Bad Moms.
That's a fun time. BBC America has XT.
Rambo is on Paramount with the... I said them in the wrong order. Paramount has Rambo 2 and Rambo 3.
Because the first one's not called Rambo. So
that's right. It's First Blood.
So Rambo 3 is a fake title because there was not a Rambo 1. So they're... Oh. Right? See?
Yeah.
See?
Well, now I just don't believe in the entire series. Completely unwatchable.
The Sci-Fi Channel has The Matrix Trilogy.
CBS has Creed, followed by Creed 2, which actually does have a numerical order.
Even creedier. TNT has Rush Hour 3.
Two Creed, two creedier. Science Channel has Monsters of the Ancient World on a new Mythical Beast.
But tonight we'll be watching the Lifetime Movie Network. When a successful businesswoman joins an exclusive entrepreneurial society for women, she becomes the target of suspicious attacks and begins questioning the intentions of everyone in her life. Tahi Harrison, Jonathan Stoddard, and Carrie Schroeder star in Killer Ambition.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. The biological threat intensifies. The CDC rushes to identify the contagion and treat the infected people, which tells you which administration is not there. While the White House and the Director of National Intelligence, they face a difficult dilemma in their negotiation with Xander. Eli appeals to Kate to turn on Xander. Meanwhile, Agent Gwen closes in on Nicole and Steve, but things are not always what they seem. Hope they can figure out this affair, this happening, this thing, hashtag Chappie, forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Casey Kasem losing his mind and yelling at his producer about not having to try to sound upbeat when talking about something depressing is funny. Now, was it a person who died or was it like a pet or something? Whatever it was, many years ago, someone made a video of Shaggy with that audio. I need to find that. That is from Sarah. Sarah, oh my God, if you find that, by all means, please send that to us. I have to see that. And then I will forward it to Don and Mike, and hopefully they'll get the show back together. God damn it, Don and Mike, come back to us. If you've seen this or any other spin-off of it, or if you have any idea what the hell we're even talking about, you should find it. Talk to us about it. Won't you please drop a note? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, a voicemail, text message. Use the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
Now, the real question is, there's something about Robin going off on Batman?
This is Travis from twitch.tv/TravisTavernTalk, and I'm a writing beast. I write fantasy like the Downfall series and the Portal series, sci-fi like my Silver and Smith and Ethium, and nonfiction like my 27 Thoughts on Life series, all on my live stream. You can find these books and more on Amazon.com or go to bit.ly/TravisBooks. That's bit.ly/TravisBooks.
Hello, this is Peter Davison, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Good times, man. Such good times.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Sure. What movies did they make this time, sir?
On limited release, we've got from the Oscar-nominated director of The Gatekeepers comes the untold behind-the-scenes story of the United States' 30-year effort to secure peace in the Middle East, told from the perspective of the American negotiators. Dror Morey and Oran Adar star in The Human Factor.
Limited release and video on demand, siblings Mimi and Luke unwittingly resurrect an ancient alien overlord who was entombed on Earth millions of years ago after a failed attempt to destroy the universe. Xenu? They nicknamed the evil creature Psycho Gorman, or PG for short, hey, and used the magical amulet they discovered to force him to obey their childish whims, and it's not long before PG's reappearance draws the attention of intergalactic friends and foes from across the cosmos, and a rogues gallery of alien combatants converge on the small town, a little bit of suburbia for battle, and the Fate of the Galaxy. Adam Brooks and Stephen Kostansky star in Psycho Gorman.
And if you're still hankering for more alien action, then tune into Sven Gulli. He has the story of extraterrestrials traveling in high-tech flying saucers that contact a scientist as part of a plan to enslave the inhabitants of Earth. Why can't they just come over and say howdy? Hey, bring some exotic fruits? Well. See Hugh Marlowe, Joan Taylor, and Morris Ankrum in The Terrifying Truth About Flying Saucers in Earth versus the Flying Saucers, only on MeTV.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Apple TV recently unveiled their first full-length trailer for Severance, the latest series directed and exec produced by Emmy and DGA Award winner Ben Stiller, which sees him reteam with his Escape at Danamoy lead Patricia Arquette.
It ain't the cable guy show I keep hoping for, but sure it'll be fine.
The workplace thriller written and created by Dan Erickson, which is set to premiere globally on the streaming service February 18th, takes place at Lumon Industries, a company that's redefining work-life balance with a severance procedure, which surgically divides employees' memories from their work and personal lives. Leading the Lumon team is Adam Scott, if you prefer, who begins to call the daring experiment into question as he finds himself at the center of an unraveling mystery that will force him to confront the truths of the nature of his work and of himself.
If you don't have Disney Plus to watch Loki, tune into Severance.
Severance's cast also includes John Turturro, Britt Bower, Zach Cherry, Dyson Lockman, Jen Tulloch, Tramiel Tillman, Michael Sheerness, and Christopher Walken. Now, the show does sound cool, and now finding out that Christopher Walken is in it makes us think that is this scripted, or did they just end up asking Walken his thoughts on the current state of employees?
In a nod to actor Jeff Daniels, a rare new species of hermaphroditic worm has been named Tarantiobellus Jeff Danielsi by scientists at the University of California, Riverside.
Wait, is it because of the worm part or the hermaphroditic part? Did we just learn something about one of our favorite actors, something new?
This particular worm attacks and kills tarantulas. The Daniels name is in tribute to his starring role in Frank Marshall's 1990 horror comedy film Arachnophobia, in which his character saves a town from a deadly swarm of spiders.
And is a classic movie.
In a statement provided by UC Riverside, Daniels says, "When I first heard a new species of nematode had been named after me, I thought, why? Is there a resemblance? Honestly, I was honored by their homage to me and Arachnophobia. Made me smile. And of course, in Hollywood, you haven't really made it until you've been recognized by those in the field of parasitology."
That's a much better way to be recognized for it than by Harvey Weinstein.
Thank you. The worm kills the spiders by infecting them in such a way it causes the tarantula's fangs to stop working, leading the spiders to die of starvation.
That's metal AF!
I love hearing passion from the crossroads of science and pop culture. Though, is Jeff Daniels really the one that should be named after? I mean, you've got John Goodman, David Arquette, or at the very least, William Shatner.
DC Comics is killing the Justice League for real.
Sure they are.
Well, I mean, Justice League 75, written by Joshua Williamson and art by Rafael Sandoval and Alejandro Sanchez, is going to be the final issue of the series and will culminate with the death of the premier superhero team.
What, like all of them?
It's very serious, Williamson said. It's an interesting opportunity to do this on the 30th anniversary of the death of Superman, which happened in Superman 75. We get to take Justice League 75 and do Death of the Justice League. We want people to understand this is serious, and this is going to have a major impact on the DCU moving forward.
Sure, just like when Superman died.
I remember the experience of reading the build-up to Death of Superman and then waiting in the rain for my copy of Issue 75. I think one reason the story was so powerful was that after Funeral for a Friend, there was no Superman comics for 3 months. That's part of what led us to make the decision that this is the last issue of Justice League. But then, 3 months later, there's still not going to be a Justice League comic. It's going to be a while. And that's going to be a major part of what the DCU looks like after the story. There is no Justice League. Now, this is a bold strategy, but to what end, though? When Superman came back, his comics became hot sellers. But let's face it, they'll come back. We all know the only character that stays dead in comics is Bucky. Right, Ed Brubaker?
Instagram rolled out a paid subscription feature with a small group of U.S. creators on Wednesday that will allow followers to pay for exclusive content on Instagram Live and Stories.
But why?
Well, for the test launch, creators have 8 different monthly price points to choose from, according to an Instagram spokesperson. You've got your 99 cents, your $1.99, $2.99, $4.99, $9.99, $19.99, $49.99, and $99.99. Instagram will not be taking a cut of revenue until at least 2023, when parent company Meta is expected to begin collecting fees from creators on Facebook and Instagram. Though the company has not yet disclosed what the revenue share percentage will be come 2023, at the earliest, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has previously said the cut will be less than 30%.
99? Really? For what?
Instagram subscriptions will allow creators to host live streams, which they already do, and share disappearing posts via stories, which they already do, specifically for their paying subscribers, as well as seeing badges next to the followers' names to indicate which of them are paying subscribers.
Easier to identify once it's time to fart in jars.
A subscription option on Instagram has seemed inevitable, given that other platforms like Twitter have introduced features like Super Follows, which lets users subscribe to Twitter users for exclusive content with monthly prices at $2.99, $4.99, or $9.99. And we think all artists should be paid for what they do, but Instagram subs? Really? At least at our Patreon, you get content to download and listen to whenever you want. I mean, unless you guys will pay us for Instagram stuff. I mean,
if there's a fee involved, I'll swing.
Pop culture has always been preoccupied with pirates and adventurers taking place on the high seas. I mean, Treasure Island, Robinson Crusoe, Peter Pan. Artists have never been shy about trying to capture the freedom, the swashbuckling, even the dignity, in a manner of speaking, that pirates offer in movies, shows, and literature.
Yarr!
The latest effort to do so isn't exactly as distinguished or highbrow as any of the other examples. No, Our Flag Means Death has oddball filmmaker Taika Waititi's fingerprints all over it, and we could not be more thrilled about that. It's a new HBO Max series that feels like Pirates of the Caribbean by way of What We Do in the Shadows, though such a pithy summation hardly does it any justice at all. The streaming service just released a first look at the series and the overall irreverent, self-aware tone on display, thanks to some funny writing and a deep bench of hilarious character actors.
The weight has me like a steering wheel on me scrote. It's driving me nuts!
Our Flag Means Death follows the misadventures of Stead Bonnet, Rhys Darby, an actual 18th century historical figure who famously woke up one day, chose to set aside his aristocratic duties and family responsibilities, and walked away from his life to become a pirate, and a gentleman pirate at that. And of course, attempting to take a high-minded approach to the act of piracy is more than just a little delusional, which is exactly the angle that this latest series appears to be playing up.
Oh, me timbers be shivering with anticipation.
As Jenkins described the series, the guy had one of the world's great colorful midlife crises. That's a great way into the show for in any genre, but to mix it up with pirates, I was like, ooh, this is fantastic. A fancy man with a fancy ship who travels with a brigade of imbeciles. Yep, that about covers it. Although it kind of sounds like the SSGRD with Captain Flintstress, the scurvyful Billy Flynn, and peg legs Rich Siegfried. Arrgh, mateys.
Yarr.
Yarr again. GRD is licensed Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 963. Like, come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and, you know, stop by the website at geekradio.com. It just occurred to me, if it's the SSGRD, do you have to walk the bell when we throw you off the ship? I don't know how that works exactly. If
Yark.
You've got an idea, by all means, share it with us. In fact, why not draw pithy cartoons and tell us about it, or send us examples in an email to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, describe it in great length. Give us your pitch meeting. Use the numbers. Use the text message thing. You need this, though.
510-GRD.
You see, because the steering wheel, it's on me scrotum. So it's like, it's driving me nuts, which is a common phrase for when something's bugging you, you know?
What do you think? It stinks.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall, I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite. What to say?
Ah, that hurt like shit.
Oh. I know. That's why I distracted you first. Same principle as deflowering virgins.
What?
I read it in this Harold Robbins book. Guy bites her on the ear, distracts from the pain. Ever try that?
No, I sock him in the jaw and your pop goes the weasel. What the f*** are you?
Name's Charlie, the spy. Nice to meet you. Drink?
Yeah. Okay, let's say I buy it. You are a trained killer. I can't even say that with a straight face. So Samantha, she,
never really existed. Like Nathan said, she was a total fabrication. I made her up. Hmm.
So now she's just, gone forever and ever?
Thank God. Look at my inordinately large ass. Look what she did to me.
Pretty convincing act.
I guess.
You know, her, personality had to come from somewhere.
Change the subject. Better yet, bring me that bottle.
Here you go, drink up. So what's next? What do we do now?
I contact Chapter. I come in for debriefing, bury the last 8 years, get back to work. Cheers.